In a world with so many uncertain and confusing voices, isn't it wonderful to know that there is an objective truth outside of ourselves? That truth is found in the Word of God. That word, which Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is our foundation, and through it we learn the good news of Jesus Christ, the Gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We invite you to join us today as we mine the riches of God's Word, searching as for hidden treasure, that we might understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Hello and welcome to this special Christmas Eve edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've tuned in this afternoon as we are reflecting on God's Word this week. God's Word from the second chapter of Matthew, the account of the Magi, or the wise men. And as we've been looking at this passage this week, we've seen some remarkable things. For instance, we've seen that these Magi in Israel were not considered to be upstanding righteous men, but yet it's these people that God brings to first of all look for the king of Israel, for the king of the Jews. The Israelites themselves don't seem to be all that interested, but yet these wise men, these Magi, are the first ones who come looking for Jesus. And we've seen that that's a matter of God's grace and mercy. It's an amazing thing that God works together everything for our salvation. He graciously pursues us and brings us to worship. And so these Magi are those through whom God reveals his mercy in this story. An amazing thing. Now, the story goes on to tell us about Herod. And what we learned yesterday about Herod is that he was not a Jew. He'd been crowned by Rome as king of the Jews, but he was not a Jew. Rather, he was an Edomite. And that meant that his family was descended from Esau. That was Esau, the one whose descendants had always been enemies of the descendants of Jacob. The descendants of Jacob are the people of Israel. This is the same Esau whom God said something quite remarkable about in Malachi chapter 1. If we turn to Malachi chapter 1, we find some words that are quite shocking, actually, about Esau. In Malachi chapter 1, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, last prophecy. God says, "Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." Those are remarkable words. God puts his curse on Esau. And so when we come back to Herod, he tried to portray himself as a Jewish king, but he could never get away from the fact that his family was not Jewish, and he was only ruling over the Jews because he was a slick operator, and he had blood on his hands. He manipulated everyone around him. He was deceitful. He was bloodthirsty. He would do whatever he could to hold on to power. Now, when Herod heard about the Magi, he became very disturbed, and Matthew tells us that all of Jerusalem became disturbed with him. Rather than all the people of Israel in Jerusalem saying, "Here, our king is here, the Messiah is here, praise God," they all became very disturbed with King Herod. And what was the problem, you might ask? Well, Herod's main title was King of the Jews, and anyone who would try to resist him, anyone who would try to undermine his power, his influence, was a major league threat, at least in Herod's mind. And those in the know in Jerusalem knew that if Herod wasn't happy, nobody's happy. This was going to turn out badly for someone. Herod called together the biblical experts, the people of his day who knew the Bible inside out and backwards, the people from the Sanhedrin, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And note that he doesn't say King of the Jews, but he says Messiah. He says the Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Herod understands that something big is happening here. He understands that this is not just any king who is threatening his power. He goes to the biblical experts and he asks them, "Where is this king, this Messiah, this Christ to be born?" And the biblical experts have no difficulty in answering Herod's question. Micah 5, verse 2, which Matthew quotes here in Matthew chapter 2, Micah 5 verse 2 was clear enough that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. They knew the answer. They found it just like that, easily. But note that they don't act on it. You'd think that they would have been the first ones to head for Bethlehem upon realizing that the Christ had been born. But what do? Well, they just go about their business in Jerusalem. They could care less that the Christ had come into the world. They could care less that Christmas was a reality. Look at the reversal taking place here, friends. The Gentiles are on their way to find the Savior to worship him. But the people of God, the people with whom God had made his covenant, they're indifferent. They don't care. When our Savior came into the world the first time, he found the people of God, who were by and large asleep. They had a whatever attitude about him. And you know, friends, in that, there's a warning for us as well. You know, Christmas is a wonderful time of celebration and rejoicing, but God's word also puts a challenge to us here, puts a warning to us. The message is that Christ came once into the world, 2,000 years ago. And we have God's promise in God's word that he will come again. And in that connection, our Lord Jesus himself asked in Luke 18, verse 8, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes again, when he comes a second time, will he find faith on the earth? And so let me challenge you this afternoon. What's your attitude about his second coming? Are we indifferent? Do we have a whatever attitude? Do we perhaps believe that it's not real? The baby Jesus of Christmas time is not threatening. And perhaps we'd like to keep him there at that age. But the fact is, listen friends, he's not a baby anymore. Right now, he is an adult man at the right hand of God. And he is waiting. And when the time is up, the time only known to the Father, he is coming back. And he is coming back as the judge of all the earth. He is the Lion of Judah, and he will carry out judgment. And if you're found to be indifferent towards him, Christ himself says that it will be more tolerable for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment. In other words, this is not pleasant to hear, but our Lord Jesus says, if you've received these wonderful promises, if you've heard these promises and you reject them, well, that's a sin that's worse than sodomy. Receiving the covenant promises of God for salvation in Christ and being indifferent to those promises and refusing to believe them, that's very serious in God's eyes. And so please hear the warning that God reveals and heed it. Don't listen to this program here this afternoon and say in your heart, well, whatever. For the sake of your eternal salvation, friends, embrace Christ by faith and eagerly and passionately look for and pray for his second coming. Well, let's go back to Herod. Verse 7 tells us that Herod secretly called the Magi. He called them secretly because he had a plan. Now remember that Herod was very cunning. And he found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He didn't come out and ask how old the Magi thought the child might be. He didn't do that because that would be too obvious. Instead, he asks, when did the star appear? And when he had his answer, he sent them away to Bethlehem, and he gave them instructions to find the child and report back to him. Then notice the reason he gives for his actions. He says to the Magi, so that I too may go and worship him. Here again, we see the deceitfulness of Herod. Like sinners in all ages, Herod is not going to accept having Jesus as the king. And by hook or by crook, he's going to find him, and he's going to do his level best to destroy him. This king of the Jews, this imposter king of the Jews, wants to destroy the true king. His apostasy, his falling away from God, is nearly complete. And in God's judgment, he's become completely obsessed with himself and his power, even to the point of planning the death of a baby. If you can imagine that. You see, there's that rivalry between Jacob and Esau. And we find that throughout the Old Testament, continuing, between the people of Israel and the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. And that rivalry is being revived here again. And there's an even more ancient rivalry, that rivalry between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, that rivalry which goes back to the third chapter of Genesis. When the seed of the woman is at his most helpless, when he's a little baby, the seed of the serpent comes after him to destroy him. But guess what? The promise of God stands firm in every age. And Satan and evil men, they cannot prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the kingdom of God. And here again, we see the good news in our passage. We see God revealed as the one whose hand is mighty. And so it happened that the Magi heard the king and his instructions, and then Matthew tells us that they followed the star until it stopped over the house where Jesus was staying. Some Bible translations say when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, literally, Matthew here goes all out, and he says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. This was a joy they had never before had in their lives, a joy of joys. Their journey was over, and they were about to meet this king. This joy was abounding. This joy was something they had never experienced before in their lives, the joy of Christmas. They came to the house, and here they met the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, baby Jesus with his parents. Well, I hope that today, on this Christmas Eve, and tomorrow on Christmas Day, as you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, that you too would know that joy because you know the gospel. You know that this Savior came for you. I hope that this program has been a blessing for you today, and I do hope that God will bless you and keep you, and have a Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We trust that the Word of God has blessed you this afternoon. This broadcast comes to you courtesy of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. The Langley Canadian Reformed Church always welcomes visitors. You can find us at 21804 52nd Avenue in Langley. That's just east of the airport. Our Sunday worship times are 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. You can find more information about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.langleycanrc.org. Once again, that website, www.langleycanrc.org. You can also write for more information. Write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code, V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Once more, that toll-free number, 1-866-288-1087. Our email address, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Thanks for listening, and be sure to stay tuned tomorrow morning at 8:30 for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.